Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're ready to get back in our Father's Word, Job chapter 21. Well, it's Job's time to answer Zophar. And Zophar, again, is ratchet jawing. Words, 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 and no facts. This is a lesson that God allows to be repeated over and over. Oh, it's going to stop pretty soon. But allows it to be repeated over and over so that you would not let it happen to you. When you have a problem, certainly never blame God. Blame yourself or blame your friends if you must, or blame Satan. But don't ever blame God. God will allow certain things to happen, but He has given you certainly the rights to have free will and to decide for yourself. And actually, when you make a decision, regardless of who is using leverage on you, it's still your decision. You're the one that makes it. You're the one that must live with it. So, Job, however, it is Satan that is abusing Job. And no doubt Satan is utilizing his friends, because his friends are just sure that Job has created some terrible, or has been in some terrible sin, that God would just strip him down. So Job then answers in chapter 21. Let's ask a word of wisdom from our Father. Let's get into it. Always, now that God, through the crucifixion, Christ's blood on the cross, we have authority over our enemies, including Satan. Don't let him hanky with you, all right? Christians are not second-class citizens. We have power and authority over all of our enemies. Check out God's Word and utilize that authority. Chapter 21, verse 1, and it reads, "But Job answered and said, 'Hear diligently, you sincerely listen, my speech, and let this be your consolation.'" In other words, if you're going to draw any good from this, let this be the good you draw from it. But you're going to have to listen to me. In other words, they are like rapid fire lined up at him. One debates and then the next and so forth. Verse 3. "Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on." He's not giving them very much room. He knows that they will continue to mock. Why? They're not looking at facts. They're listening to traditions of men, the saying of the elders. That will always, my friend, get you in trouble. It will really do a job on you, a real number, if you get away from God's Word and listen to people. Verse 4, "As for me, is my complaint to man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled?" In other words, Job knows he hasn't sinned. And certainly he's not making his complaint to them. And again, I think we could probably say, do I have the right to complain? Well, I suppose Job could have complained a little bit, considering what had happened to him. Verse 5, "Mark me, you look at me, and be astonished, and lay your hand upon your mouth." In other words, you take a look at me, let that be an example, and then keep your mouth closed a minute and listen to me. Job's getting tired of their ratchet jaw talk, okay? Verse 6, "Even when I remember, I am afraid, and trembling take a hold on my flesh." When I think about God's judgment, and I respect that to the point to know that whatever I've done, I must answer for. As a man, his friends won't have to answer for Job's problems. Job will have to. 7, "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power?" In other words, you're going to have to look back at what the mocking has been, and as much as it was brought into the subject, whereby you know what Job is saying. They have told him all the way through up to this point that God strips the wicked of everything they own, that the wicked live in poverty. Well, you see, that just isn't true. And finally, Job's getting around to the square whereby it would seem to most that the wicked in this world usually overcome. The wicked are blessed. Why? Because they steal, rob, cheat, have no conscience of taking shortcuts. Is that right? Of course not. But what Job's point will be, you can't use the wicked being stripped of everything because of their sins and apply that to me. Because I've lost 10 children, I've lost all of my sheep, my cattle, the horses, mules. I've lost everything, my homes. And here, wicked always have power and authority. It's their hard time comes in the world to come. Now, we could argue with this, and there are exceptions to every rule, but Job's got a pretty good point. He's gotten tired of them saying, because you're sitting there in the ashes and sackcloth, that documents you've sinned. Well, Job's saying that's not necessarily the case. It seems to me like the sinners always are royalty, all right? They got a lot. 8, concerning the wicked, their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. They've got plenty of offspring. They teach them usually how to steal just the way they did. 9, their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. In other words, God will, if the righteous community doesn't have enough sense to stand up and put them all in jail or do away with them, hang them or something, certainly they're going to get along quite well. If you've got courts that turn murderers free, and if you've got religious leaders that put words in to free criminals that have murdered innocent people, then if showing ignorance like that in the religious world, well, certainly God's going to allow it to happen. Verse 10. Their bull gendereth, I mean, they got a lot of offspring, and faileth not. Their cow calveth, and casteth not her calf. There is no aborted, it would seem like, for the wicked. They just have luck all over the place. And quite frankly, I must add a thought of my own. Never judge the wicked for happiness. They must always look over their shoulder, and they're not nearly as happy as it looks. But it is true that many times crooks seemingly have a lot of material things. That doesn't last, though. Not to worry. Verse 11. I must at the same time say many people are rich with God's blessings, and that's wonderful. They don't have to look over their shoulder. And there's no sin in being rich with God's blessings. It is those that are rich with ill-gotten gains, mammon, that must worry. Verse 11, they send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. I mean, they're happy, and it would seem that they've got a whole flock of children. They're blessed. This would be easy for Job to reminisce on. All 10 of his are gone. 12, and all the grandkids, if any, were with them. All right. 12, they take the timbrel, they sing along, and harp, and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They just seem to be, the wicked are very happy. And again, I will bear in mind that Job is saying, you're accusing me of being wicked because my poor stance sitting here in sackcloth and ashes. I see it the other way. The wicked seem to always get ahead. At the same time, I would remind you of God's input to this in the 37th Psalm, which is an acrostic psalm that tells why the wicked always seem to overcome, but what their ultimate end would be. You with companion Bibles, it's laid out for you in the 37th Psalm. Verse 13, they spend their days in wealth, I mean, they just joy and prosperity, and in a moment go down to the grave. I mean, painlessly, and not as poor old Job sitting there with sores running and so forth, you know. They seem to be happy right up to the end there. Of course, that's what separates the righteous from the unrighteous, is the grave. 14, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. We're non-religionists. Get away from us. Just go away. And usually the ones that do have ill-gotten gains must be non-religionist, for they have no conscience. And certainly for their own peace of mind, they have to say, there's not really a God. Get that, those stories out away from me. How little they know. Verse 15. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto Him? This is what they would say. It's not obvious to sinners and thieves and non-religionists in this world. It is not obvious to them God's blessings. They cannot comprehend that. They cannot associate with it. It's beyond them. That's kind of sad, isn't it? Verse 16. But then I would add that they miss the greatest blessings of all within that very fact. 16. Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. Have they not heard constant do they not have constant prosperity? But Job says, take a look at me. What have I got? Nothing. In other words, Job's kind of telling him, I wish you had stopped comparing me as being wicked and to the wicked unless you look at the facts. The facts are that the wicked are usually very prosperous. Here I sit in sackcloth. I haven't sinned. I'm not wicked. That being the point, and it's well taken. Very wise. 17. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? And how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in His anger. And naturally, Bildad kind of brought this point up back in chapter 18, I believe it was verse 12. I'm going to turn back there. His strength shall be hunger-bitten, or in, what's it in 5? Yea, the light of the, verse 5 of chapter 18, just, you won't have it, I apologize. Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. So Job's marking well what has been said, and he's kind of making them eat their words. God distributeth the sorrows in his anger. In other words, it doesn't happen often, but when it does, that's the day. Verse 18. They are as stubble before the wind and as chaff that the storm carrieth away. They have no future. The wicked had better enjoy their so-called prosperity here on earth, because there won't be any other. Verse 19. God layeth up his iniquity for his children. He rewardeth him, and he shall know it. It kind of takes it out of his out of the hand of the child, does it not? God takes over, and it will always happen. And what does God consider them as chaff? There's no grain or fruit among them. 20. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty. That's a known fact from the law of Moses all the way through the Word of God. Verse 21. For what pleasure hath he in his house after him when the number of his months is cut off in the midst? In other words, if he's got the biggest mansion in the country, the day that his the cord parts, that is to say he dies, deader than a hammer, he's got nothing. There are certainly no righteous acts to be judged by, and he is hell-bound. 22. Shall any teach God knowledge? Question. That's, you know, how could anyone teach God knowledge when God is, all wisdom comes from God? Seeing he judgeth those that are high. That is to say, those that he judges both the wicked and the just. Same Father, judging both sets of children. 23. One dieth in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet. Perfection or prosperity. Right? one sort of perfection in that his, I don't like the word piety, but I'll use it, his righteousness. How about that? And the other in his prosperity. They're both going to die. 24. His breasts are full of milk. That's to say his milk pails are full of milk. And his bones are moistened with marrow. In other words, the wicked are pretty well fed and pretty well taken care of. 12. Men groan from out of the city. The soul of the wounded crieth out, yet God layeth not folly to them. I think I turned one page too many. All right? And so I did. Yes, let me begin again. Verse 24, verse 25. And another dieth in bitterness of his soul, and never eateth with pleasure. Let's go with 26 for explanation. They shall lie down alike in the dust, and the worm shall cover them. In other words, the flesh is treated equally. Now understand this. You're going to have to, in your mind, separate the soul, the spirit being, from the flesh. It doesn't matter whether you're righteous or whether you're a great sinner. The same thing happens to both bodies, that is to say the flesh, when you die. They dissolve back into dust, dirt. You don't need them anymore, and you're through with them. That, of course, being the reason. But what happens to the soul is quite a different story. One that is just will have eternal life, and the other will have his light snuffed in the very lake of fire. But God gives equal happenings to the flesh itself. They both go back to dust. Verse 12, behold, or you look at this. I know your thoughts and the devices which you wrongfully imagine against me. You think I'm wicked, but look at me. I'm a pauper now, sitting down here in the ashes, and I'm not riding six white horses out here with a fancy chariot and my children running out like in flocks and multiplied like the wicked are. And Satan would sure vouch for that, because Satan has put him where he is. God allowed it. Why? To teach you a lesson today, that you should not let this happen to you. He has given you power and authority over Satan. Don't let Satan ruin your life. Verse 28, for ye say, he says, I know now you're going to ask this. You say, where is the house of the prince? And where are the dwelling places of the wicked? The prince here is really the tyrant, okay? It's used in a bad sense, all right? And it's said sarcastically by Job for their answer. But he knows they will answer him back sarcastically. 29, have you not asked them that go by the way? And do you not know their tokens? Haven't you asked one of the strangers that are passing by the road in caravans out here? They'll tell you this. They'll vouch for it. Verse 30, that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. In other words, they're set aside for, they're targets for God's wrath. God doesn't let anyone get away with anything. Verse 31, who shall declare his way to his face, and who shall repay him what he hath done? In other words, the wicked landowner, let's say, and tyrant is so wicked that what poor man is going to stand up in his face and say, this is what you've done, and you're going to get your act together? He'd probably be beheaded, you know, of this time. He says, who's doing that and who's going to do it? You want me to do it? Job kind of implies. One of you want to do it? He's driving his point home real well. 32. Let me hasten to say, though, they're not going to get it. You got the three ratchet jaws that will continue on. words, 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 and no facts. You've got to stick to the facts, beloved. 32. Yet shall he be brought to the grave and shall remain in the tomb. In other words, the lake of fire will claim him. 33. The clots of the valley shall be sweet unto him, and every man shall draw after him, as there are innumerable before him. In the Hebrew, this kind of says the train is very long at his funeral and very sad. They just keep coming. He's wealthy and he's a sinner, and the funeral procession is so long it just keeps coming over the hill. Verse 34. How then comfort ye me in vain, seeing in your answers there remaineth falsehood? You're a bunch of liars. So it is. Job lays out a good comparison, and basically these facts are true. Probably this is one of the minor complaints of certain Christians that maybe have a hard time getting a good start or something, that it seems like the crook always gets ahead. Well, it just isn't true, but yet to say that someone's, to blame someone as unhappiness and his destruction in life on this earth, by that I mean as Job, a building falls on 10 children all at one whack, all of his cattle stolen, loss of everything, is not a sign of wickedness. And he's trying to lay those, these are facts that Job has laid out. Now, do you believe for one moment that those three ratchet jaws that are steeped in the traditions of lies of men will have heard that? Though the Word of God, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, makes it very clear that that's exactly the way it is. I hope you know they won't hear. So let's get on with it. Chapter 22, verse 1. Then Eliphaz, that means El is my, God is my strength, the Temanite answered and said, verse 2, can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? What benefit to God do you think one little old man is? 3, is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Or is it a gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? Now you stop a minute. Job isn't privy to what happened in chapters 1 and 2, but you are. What pleasure does the Almighty take from Job? Do you remember God's words? Satan, what do you think about my boy Job? He's a good one, isn't he? You can't have him. You can, and Satan says, well, if you'll take down the protection, I can have him. He said, you can take everything but his soul. But I get so much pleasure from him. That my words in part, but basically, God was so pleased with Job because he knew Job wouldn't break. Job wouldn't crack. I don't know, will you? Can the pressures of life turn you against God? I don't think so. But what if it went to the degree that it has gone with Job? I mean, we are so fortunate that Christ, after the crucifixion, after his blood was shed on the cross, Emmanuel, God with us, that it brings on repentance, forgiveness of sins, but at the same time, as Christ would report in Luke chapter 10 verse 19, give us power in his name over all of our enemies, including Satan. So you see, this man's lying coming out the gate, because you know and I know from chapter 1 that God takes a great deal of pleasure in Job. As a matter of fact, Satan and God both are watching every move Job makes, because the adversary wants to accuse him and entrap him, and God is saying, that's my boy. All right? That's the controversy that there has been from the garden. Don't ever try to kid yourself. Stick to facts, not words. If it be a word you must have, let it be a word of God. The word of God. Verse 4. Will he reprove thee for fear of thee? You think God's afraid of you, Job? This is just absolutely disgustingly mockery against Job. Will he enter with thee into judgment? Do you think he's going to punish you, Job, for no reason at all? 5. Is not thy wickedness great? Job, you're the biggest sinner in the world. Look what's happened to you. And thine iniquities infinite. Now he's getting just downright disgusting. Probably he's going to be, this will be the first time Job has just been directly confronted and called a wicked sinner. And boy, has he laid it on here. And what? It's all a lie. But it's ratchety jaw, ratchety jaw. You know, you have preachers today that are uneducated in God's Word, other than maybe a little few little scriptures out of the New Testament that they memorize. Salvation, baptism. They don't get into the truth of the reality of life. Christianity is not a religion. It is a reality. You better learn how to live it, practice it, and utilize the authority that God has given you as a Christian. Would this bother you? I would hope not. You don't have to pay attention to what a ratchet jaw says, some revolving rev off out here in the boonies, or from the big city. They're worse. If they're bad, a bad rev anywhere is bad, all right? Thank God for the good ones. Verse 6. For thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught and stripped the naked of their clothing. Do you think Job did that? Job was known for being a blessing to everyone. Job was known for being very generous. That's why Job has these three friends. He's pulled them out of the ditch often enough when he was in the driver's seat. And look how quick friends and traditions will turn against you. And don't forget it. Verse 7. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. Another lie. A bald-faced lie. Now, many might say, well, where does it say bald-faced lie here in the Hebrew? It didn't say it in the Hebrew. I said it, because that's what it is. You know Job, I know Job. Job was very generous. He didn't withhold bread from anyone. And so, this ratchet jaw is lying like a dog. And you know something? I must do something here. I must do something. Now that I remember in a question and answer thing, some person called in and said, this TV preacher said the reason you must just literally cover with money the good old revolving revs, that it will declare it in chapter 22 of Job. Do you realize who's talking here? A liar. So what does that make the preacher that said this was the thing you should do? The preacher looked down here and saw one or two little verses about gold, and he didn't know it was a liar talking. And he preached a sermon on it. I guess I shouldn't say anything else. I think that truth, this is the 22nd chapter, and he had reference to this liar's words in probably verses 24 and 25. We'll get there in a minute, or maybe in the next lecture. Verse 8. But as for the mighty man, he had the earth, and the honorable man dwelt in it. He said, the mighty man said, you had a lot of land, Job, and you took it by force. That's a lie. Job didn't take it by force. He inherited it and earned it. Job is just not guilty of these accusations. 9. Thou hast sent widows a way empty, and the arms of the fatherless have thou broken. Another lie. Verse 10. Therefore snares are around about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee. In other words, Job, you're sitting there in that sackcloth, and your sores are running, and you're guilty, a tremendous sinner. A lie. Verse 11. Our darkness, in other words, your light is void. It's gone. It's out. that thou canst not see, and abundance of waters cover thee. You're just as good as dead. 12. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the height of the stars, how high they are. Don't you think God can see you, Job? Don't you think He can see how you've done the people? Well, God didn't see any of that. But how do you think this person's light shines in God's eye? Oh, I'd hate to be in his shoes. Lying rascal, claiming to be a friend. Verse 13. And thou sayest, how doth God know? Question. Can he judge through the dark cloud? Question. Listen to me. 14. Thick clouds are a covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of the heavens. Do you see the? That is absolutely an ignorant statement. Do you think God can't see through a cloud? Do you think God can't understand what's going on under a cloud? He can read your mind. Come on. But I'm just showing you the caliber of would-be friends Job has here. 15. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden? Have you considered it, Job? Think about it. I'm sure Job's thought about it a lot. 16. Which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflowing with the flood, and were washed away. 17. Which said unto God, depart from us. And what can the Almighty do? This says far, but it should be to them, to us. What can he do to us? That's what the wicked like you say, Job. 18. Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. Although their purposes were different, isn't it amazing what a liar can do? Can take a lot of big words, and I mean, we got three against one here. And some people, like to pile on like some chicken. And when you're growing chickens, if one gets a bloody head, the whole bunch just kill. I mean, they'll just eat him alive. And that's the way some of these ratchet jaw preachers are. You get one that has fallen, and they'll all just jump on and start stomping and throwing rocks. It doesn't matter what the facts are. You've seen it, I've seen it, and it's true. Stick to facts and let God do the judging. Verse 19. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh them to scorn. When the wicked's goods are consumed, the others just laugh to scorn. Now, Job's friends they're laying this to Job, and they're laughing while he's down there in the sackcloth and he hasn't done a thing. Whereas our substance is not cut down, but the remnant of them the fire consumeth. Poor old Job. He lost everything. It looks bad for him, doesn't it? Not in God's eyes. This is just in these knuckleheads' eyes. 3. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Just repent, Job. Repent to our God. 22. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. 23. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Just say you're saved, Job, and you'll be happy. Right? Just be at church every time the doors open, Joby boy. Our church, that is. 24. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. This is where that ignorant preacher told this guy if he would do like Job 22, he'd have lots of wealth. Again, how possibly can a so-called man of God quote an idiot on television saying it's right? It shows his stupidity. Well, do you like calling names? No, I don't. I abhorred ignorance. And, there's nothing wrong with being born out of knowledge, but don't stay that way. At least do your best. I wish I knew everything. I certainly don't, but I work hard at trying to understand. But if you set yourself up as a preacher and advise somebody to go by this, giving more money, repenting and giving more money, and you'll just gather gold dust. That's a lie. 25. I guess some preachers would do anything to rip people off. I received another one of those little letters where a preacher had sent a little heart, said, "I just tell you from my heart, I just had a message from God directly to you." And you know what the sucker does? He sends out thousands of these things. And said, "I just had a message from God just for you." Now, see, what kind of a lie is that? You got to be careful, my friend. When people say they're your religious friend and fellow apostle, and they're trying to get in your pocket, God does not send out beggars. Anyone comes to you begging, they're a fake. All right? I can say that boldly. God provides for His anointed. I mean, people recognize truth well enough that they support the anointed without he or she having to beg. Now, I know I offend some, and this is the very reason you don't find this pastor on too many religious stations. But we've got nigh on 300 good stations, so we don't miss them that much. And, you know, if they can't stand the heat, well, they can get out of the kitchen. There are many good churches. There are many good pastors, but I hate beggars. I really do. God does also. Jesus said, when you go forth, don't take a begging bag with you. I guess I better stop there. We'll pick that up in the next lecture. I'll tell you what. Many say, well, you're very hard. I am on preachers that do wrong because they mislead innocent people and cause them to sin and err when they think they're doing right. And it's very wrong. And you might say, well, what about you're being so hard on them? Well, they need to get their act together or they're going to burn in hell for sure because judgment starts at the pulpit. They better get their act together or they will be judged higher than anyone else. If you proclaim something as coming from the Word of God, you had better have done your homework or you will answer. A word to the wise is sufficient. How many people preach sermons on that chapter 22? And say, it's right there in the Bible. Yeah, but God lets you know it's a lie. So when you preach it, you better preach it as a lie. Where have we gone? Well, it would seem that many have fallen by the wayside rather than following God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. It's rather sad, isn't it? Don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your hearts. You listen a moment, won't you please?